This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark. In Michigan, you can be denied housing or a job for being gay. Plenty of folks in the state have pushed to end this, to do it by adding protection to the LGBT community in the state's Civil Rights Act. One Republican tried to do this 5 years ago. He was later defeated in a primary against a fellow Republican. His name is Frank Foster, and he's here with us now. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Zoe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Richard Chuba is a pollster. He's founder of the Glengariff Group and former Republican operative. He's got new numbers out about the acceptance in Michigan of adding protections to the LGBT community. Hey, Rich.
Hey, great to be here.
Thanks so much, you two. So, Frank, first I want to just dig into this because you made waves when you decided to introduce this legislation 5 years ago. Why did you decide to buck the conservative trend and argue in favor of equal rights?
Yeah, well, I think it was more I was unaware that there was a loophole in the law, a loophole as I would consider it. Actually, it was a bill that was being drafted by a colleague from Ann Arbor, Jeff Irwin, and he came up and said, listen, I am a progressive Democrat. It's a Republican-controlled state right now. The only way to get this done is to have a Republican do it. And so he explained the issue to me, and it seemed, I guess I didn't run the political traps on it right away. It just seemed like the right thing to do at the time, and I didn't think it would be terribly tough to explain to the average voter that, do you think it's right, but, you know, regardless of religious affiliation or how you feel about this types of issues, don't you at least think that these are some basic protections that the state ought to offer?
Jeff Irwin, state senator of Ann Arbor right now, he is progressive. Why do you think he chose you?
We have a great relationship. His dad was the former state senator, Mitch Irwin? Of our district. So I talked to Mitch when I was running for office up there because he was also a young guy when he got elected. And Jeff and I just kind of, you know, we spent a lot of time on the House floor getting to know members. Him and I just clicked. And I think he probably picked me just because I was a younger Republican. And I agreed with him on the issue.
Frank, you lost your primary to one actually Lee Chatfield, who just so happens to be the Republican Speaker of the House this year.
Yes, yep.
Was it because of this issue?
Oh, I don't know about that. You know, I think the Speaker was, or this now Speaker was going to run, regardless. So I'm not sure if this issue pushed up that time frame or not. You know, the Speaker and I are actually very good friends. We were friends before we ran against each other. We're even better friends now, actually. I think he'd agree with that. So, you know, I'm not sure if this pushed up his timeline. You know, he's a bit more conservative than me on some issues. And so it if you asked him, it might have been a multitude of issues why he ran.
Rich, let's cut to 5 years later, present day. You've got new numbers out. Where do Michigan voters stand on the issue of adding protections to the state constitution for the LGBT community?
Well, you know, the numbers aren't that different from what they have been. They've just grown more intense. And that is 79% support adding LGBT community to Elliot Larson in Michigan. And that's a couple of points higher than we've seen in the past. But, you know, what's really staggering is the intensity of that vote, where two-thirds of the voters now strongly support it. And that's where we're really seeing some shifts here. You know, Frank mentioned earlier that, you know, one of the reasons he introduced this legislation was because he was surprised by this loophole. And one of the questions we asked was, is it legal or illegal in Michigan to fire somebody if you find out they're gay? And 81% of the voters already think it's illegal. So I think one of the problems is people just don't know that it's perfectly legal right to fire somebody.
I totally agree with that. Now, I'd like to ask Rich a question too after this, but you know, when I, as we, the campaign moved forward that year, I was able to, I think, educate voters, and they were surprised that we weren't talking even about gay marriage. So when the issues came up, people were like, well, I'm opposed or I support gay marriage. I said, wait, we're not even talking about that. When you explain that these are just basic protections, that, you know, you kind of saw their face change, like, oh, yeah, well, that's okay with me.
Oh, interesting. And Frank, you want to ask Rich a question. So go over, take over my interview duties.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had any regional breakdown, because one of the polls that I had seen that it varied greatly in Michigan when you asked that question. And so even during our campaign, we saw cross tabs of middle of the road voters and how they felt. And, geographically, that those response rates were very different.
Well, we did break it down geographically, but one of the things we look at here, and I think, Frank, you experienced it more than anybody out there, is who are these people who oppose? And one of the things we find is they are essentially older, white, outstate Republicans. They are over 65. They are primary voters. And they're watching Fox News. And they, as we know, in a primary, only about 8% of the overall electorate votes in a Republican primary when they roll around in August. And they really do have a disproportionate share of control over this issue in the state right now.
Well, I certainly agree with that. And I'm probably evidence of that with my primary. And this being and one of the issues. So, one of the things I might add to that is it might be a Fox viewer, but when I ran across of people that when I explained it and they still didn't agree with me, was it was more of a libertarian approach. They didn't believe in the civil rights issues regardless. They thought, I want government hands off. If I want to fire someone, that's my choice. If I want to kick someone out of my rental property, that's my choice. So I kind of ran into it from the very far right libertarian approach, where I don't care about religion. I don't care about any of these other protected classes. Just stay out of my way.
Interesting. So then, Rich, working in Republican politics, do you think this is an issue then of plain and simple messaging about the issue? If 79% of people support the expansion and yet it continues to not happen, what is getting lost?
Well, I think, again, this goes back to who actually votes in early August in primaries, specifically who votes in Republican primaries. And it is clearly older voters, significantly older. Younger Republicans, this does not faze them. We also ask this question of religious freedom, which is becoming a big part of this conversation. Should an employer be able to fire somebody they find out as LGBT if it violates their own personal religious beliefs? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And over 80% of voters, in fact, 83% of voters say no. But when you look at who are those 8% who said yes, it is essentially 1 in 4 Republicans.
Sure. And highly motivated. Right. The other problem I think this issue has, even though it's widely supported along the electorate, is it's not a powerful motivator. Right. So it's not a tier one issue for people that support it. Now, those 1 in 4 that are coming out in a primary, if it is an issue that the candidates are talking about, they're probably very motivated. The small group is probably very motivated to defeat it. But I don't think that 80% of people that supports this issue is coming out to vote for Elliot Larson's adoption of this based on anything else, right? So they're probably worried about infrastructure, education. That's what's motivating them. And this issue can't really catch fire before that.
I think where it can motivate, or it does motivate, is in general elections, particularly amongst voters under 40.
Mm.
Those are the voters who this really, they're like, hold it, this is a matter of fairness.
Right.
It's a matter of what are our morals, what are the values we have, and for those voters under 40, it matters. So, if you come out of a primary staunchly opposed to this in a swing district, it could cost you votes with voters under 40.
Right, and it's the issue can even be spliced a little bit more, and I think that the other side will use the extreme examples to oppose it. But I ran across different issues of people that just didn't understand the transgender community, and that scared them enough away not to get involved. They didn't understand necessarily what sexual identification was. And so that scared them enough not to come out and support the whole of it. So, you know, they would say, well, I know what gay is. I have a gay cousin, or my brother's gay. You know, I know what that is, and that's fine with me, but I don't know enough about this, and that scares me.
It appears Governor Gretchen Whitmer has said she wants an expansion, but it appears that the legislature, with two Republican majorities in both chambers, are not willing to approve that. Frank Foster, you said you are friends with Speaker of the House, Lee Chatfield. What would you say to him right now about bringing up this expansion?
Well, you know, ultimately he's got, again, I'll go back to what I said. He's got to fix roads. He's got to balance a budget. You know, majority of the citizenry cares about those two things above this. So I don't think he's in a position that he's going to take it up, either based on philosophical beliefs or based on the fact that he's got things that he would deem more important in front of him that he needs to get done for the state. So I probably wouldn't bring it up, though, because I wouldn't want to sour a friendship.
Frank Foster, former Republican legislator from up north, and Richard Shuba, founder of the polling firm Glenn Gariff Group. Hey, guys, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Zoe. And Rich, nice to talk with you.
Great to talk with you. Good to be here.